Saga Egmont presents Blood Red by Anita Waller, read by Leslie Harcourt. For Mum, Edna May Havenhand, 8th of the 5th, 1921, to the 1st of the 11th, 1953. Would have been 100 years old on the 8th of the 5th, 2021. So dearly loved. No matter what the colour of your skin is, we all bleed red. H.H. Eunice Algoa. While the rest of the species is descended from apes, redheads are descended from cats. Mark Twain. Prologue. Monday, 21st of August, 1995. The tears continued for an hour once the realization hit that Evelyn was dead. It was Evelyn's suggestion that they had a talk. She had things to say. She wanted to go public with her love for a man, a different man to the one whose engagement ring she wore. "It will be fine, but we need to talk. I have to tell you my plans, and those plans involve me going to live away from Eam." Her voice was cold, almost brutal, as if she couldn't believe she was saying the words. She sounded almost scared to say them, but she knew exactly how much her words were hurting. "What? You heard me. But no buts. I've made up my mind." There was pain in her voice. Her face flushed a deep red. She turned to walk away. "This isn't happening, Evelyn. You're mine. You can't leave. I decide when that happens, not you." It was so easy to pick up the heavy object and swing it towards the back of the head of the woman who was loved too much. Evelyn tumbled to the floor, like a fan folding all on its own. Slowly and carefully. The killing object, rounded and heavy, hammered again and again before sliding with a thud to the floor, to lie beside her inert body. Everything was red. The whole surrounding area underneath and by the side of Evelyn turned more and more russet, as blood pumped out of the huge crater in her skull. The glorious red hair, so admired by all who knew her, was now vibrantly scarlet. The pulse in her neck was non-existent. She was gone. One rash movement, the uncharacteristic anger had taken her away, and the tears flowed. She was wrapped in a picnic blanket and wasn't difficult to manoeuvre into the boot of the car. Evelyn had to be hidden until logic could plan the next move, and remembrance of school days and the outhouse round the back of the disused shop in the middle of Eam appeared as if those memories were a film script. They had gone there to smoke, but only the three of them knew about it, knew where they hid the key. The last tile of the roof was loose, reachable and a safe place. If it was still there, she could be hidden in that disused spot until the next move could be thought through. She certainly couldn't be kept in the boot of the car. Time to think was what was needed. The key was still there, and the door creaked as it was opened for the first time in an extremely long time. The risk of parking the car outside the front of the shop had seemed a reasonable one, as it was the closest point for getting Evelyn to the shed. She was lying on the ground, wrapped in the blanket, while the search for the key was undertaken. But once the door was open wide enough, the body was heaved inside. The door was quietly pushed, closed, and locked. Deep down, Evelyn's killer knew there would never be a return to move her again, so the key was thrown as far as possible into the tangle of grass and shrubs that extended way beyond the outhouse. Eam and its residents were asleep by two, and Evelyn Pearson was hidden for 25 long years. 1. Tuesday, the 7th of January, 2020. Tessa Marsden sank down onto a bench facing the beach at Cleethorpes and let the icy wind blowing straight across the Humber estuary whip through her shoulder-length dark hair. She felt numb, and it was nothing to do with the freezing weather. It was more shock at how her life had changed so much in such a short space of time. 2 weeks ago, she had been a detective inspector with the Derbyshire Police, and now she was a partner in the Connection Investigation.